Chapter 9. A Bad Dream. Tom listened at the door to see if he could hear the doorman's footsteps coming up the stairs. There was nothing. The man had not heard anything. It was only 12:40. It was hours before it would get dark. He searched Freddy's pockets and found a wallet and some keys. There were two car keys on a ring that said Fiat. Inside the wallet was information about the car. A Fiat 1400, black, 1955. Tom looked out the window, and there it was, parked opposite the apartment. Tom sat and thought for a long time, and then suddenly, he knew what he was going to do. He would make it look like the robbing of a drunk foreigner. He had lots of time, but he did not stop until the room was ready. He lit and burned down 10 or so cigarettes, leaving them in the ashtrays. He put a half-full bottle of gin on the table and filled part of a large glass with it. Then, he poured some of it down Freddy's throat and drank some himself. He knew he would have to clean it all back up by the evening because, in the story he was going to tell the police, Freddy left his house around 7. But the house needed to be untidy because he had to believe the story he was going to tell the police himself. And after he told it, he would still be able to leave for Naples and Palma at 10:30 tomorrow morning. He had not wanted to kill him at all. Freddy and his stupid ideas about Dickie being gay. Dickie was his good friend. Of course he was not gay. Where was the sex? Where was the problem? He looked at the body and said angrily, "Freddy Miles, you died because of your own dirty mind." Soon after 7 o'clock, he checked to make sure the doorman was not there, and then put Freddy's arm over his shoulder and lifted him down the stairs. He was very heavy, but Tom had to get him outside and into the car. Tom was a bit drunk from a mixture of gin and wine, because if other people saw him, they needed to think he was drunk. But the street was quite quiet. Tom opened the car door and pushed Freddy into it. Then he put on a pair of gloves, wiped the door clean, and got into the driver's seat. He started the car and drove away down the hill and through the city until he reached a large graveyard on the Via Appia Antica. He stopped the car and, with some difficulty, pulled the heavy body out of it, leaving it behind a large tree. Then, he got back into the car and turned it toward Rome again. A few minutes later, he pulled the car into the side of the road and took the money out of Freddy's wallet before dropping it into a rubbish bin on the way. At 9 o'clock the next morning, the telephone rang. "Signor Greenleaf," asked an Italian voice.
"See?"
The voice told him that the body of Frederick Miles had been found in a graveyard on the Via Appia Antica, and that Signor Miles had visited him the day before. Was that right?
"Yes, that is right," said Tom.
"What time exactly?" asked the policeman.
"From noon until maybe 5 or 6 in the evening. I'm not sure."
"Would you be able to answer some questions?" "No, you don't need to come to the police station. We will come to you at 10:30. You must not leave the apartment before then."
Tom angrily put the phone down. He would miss his train and his boat now. All he wanted was to leave his apartment and get out of Rome. Two policemen came. A short, older man with a polite, kind smile. He looked neither intelligent nor stupid, and a younger one.
How was Freddy killed? Tom asked.
He was hit on the head and the neck with something heavy, the younger policeman replied. And robbed. We think he was drunk. Was he drunk when he left your apartment yesterday?
We were both a bit drunk. Wine and gin, Tom said.
He spoke in Dickie's Italian, making the same mistakes that Dickie had always made. The policeman wrote it down, and also the time that Tom said Freddy had been there, from about 12 to 6. He told them that Freddy had not said where he was going when he left. They asked him more questions. How friendly was he with Freddy? Was Freddy alone? How drunk had he been?
Not so drunk that he couldn't drive, Tom told them.
And what did you do yesterday, after Signor Miles left?
The older policeman asked.
I stayed here, Tom said. After Freddy left, I had a little sleep, and then I went for a walk about 8 o'clock.
He told them this because a man that he knew from the apartments had seen him come in at about 8:45. He also told them that he wanted to go to Majorca the next day.
We need you to stay in the city for the next couple of days, the taller one told him. I'm sorry if you have made travel plans. Good day, Signor Greenleaf.
Tom knew that the name Dickie Greenleaf and the address of his apartment would appear in all the papers the next day. So he decided to go and stay in a hotel. He did not want any more people calling for him at the apartment. He booked a room at the Albergo Inghilterra and then rang the police station to tell them where he would be staying. He was at the Inghilterra within an hour. He went out in the evening to buy the newspapers, then went to a bar to sit and read them. They all reported on Freddy's death.
American murdered on the Via Appia Antica. Via Appia murder of Americano last night.
Tom read every word. Every newspaper carried the name Richard Greenleaf and gave his address. They all said that Freddy had had a few drinks. Then, on the last page of the last newspaper, he read,
Barca affondata con macchie di sangue trovata nell'acqua poco fondo vicino Sanremo.
He read it quickly, with more fear in his heart than when he had carried Freddy's body down the stairs. The boat had been found, and it immediately brought back that morning to him. Dickie sitting by the motor. Dickie smiling at him. Dickie's body sinking through the water. The newspaper said that blood had been found on the boat. The boat owner could probably tell the police the very day the boat had been lost, and that it was two Americans who had taken it out and not returned it. The police could then check the hotels for that day, and the name Richard Greenleaf would stand out like a red flag. Tom's mind began working very fast. If they found Dickie's body, they would think it was Tom's. Then it would be Tom Ripley who was murdered that day. They would think that Dickie had killed him, and Freddy too. When he got back to the hotel, there was a message from Marge. She had called from Mongibello at 3:35 and would call again. He told the receptionist that if she called again, he would accept the call. He just had to keep on going and saying the right things to everybody. After that, he could go to Greece, or even India or Sri Lanka. Some place far away where no friend of Dickie's could find him. What a fool he was to think that he could stay in Rome. He went up to his room and wrote a letter from Dickie to his parents. Then Marge rang, and he spoke to her as Tom. He told her that Dickie had gone out to the police station, but would be back soon.
"How is Dickie?"
she asked.
"Why does he have to talk to the police?"
"Oh, just because he had some drinks with Freddy that day. I've been up north. When I heard about Freddy, I came down to Rome to see Dickie. If it hadn't been for the police, I'd never have found him. Anyway, I'll tell him to ring you as soon as he's back, shall I?"
He put down the phone and lay on his bed. As he fell asleep, he thought of Dickie on the beach in Mongibello, his deep, happy laugh. He was standing over him, water running from his hair, saying, "Tom, wake up! I swam!" Suddenly, Tom pushed himself up in the bed, looking for Dickie, who seemed to be in every dark corner of the room. Tom moved quickly to the window and opened it, angry with himself because, for a moment, he had lost control of his mind.